This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
SEC cracks down on stock scam.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The Securities and Exchange Commission has suspended trading in the stocks of 35 small companies for 10 days. Shares of those companies were affected by email spam campaigns. The SEC doesn't know yet who sent the emails and whether the companies are responsible for this at all. The scheme is a new version of the classic pump and dump. The perpetrators get people to buy stocks by sending spam emails that hype their value. Then after the prices have rocketed, they sell their share, drop the price of the stock, and walk away with the profit. Needless to say, the ones who got the emails and bought into the whole thing lose a lot of money. Meanwhile, the London Stock Exchange is reacting angrily to an attack by a senior American market regulator. Royal Campos of the SEC reportedly called one of the London markets a casino. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
Royal Campos was quoted criticizing London's alternative investment market, or AIM. This is a lightly regulated market designed to raise money for smaller, more speculative ventures. Campos was quoted saying 30% of the companies listed on AIM would be gone within a year. That feels like a casino, he said. The London Stock Exchange has hit back. It said AIM's failure rate is only 3%. Fund manager Justin Urquhart-Stewart puts Campos's remarks down to jealousy because London has been booming at New York's expense.
I think what's lying behind this is Mr. Campos, who did actually back off on his statements a little later, backpedaling like mad, is worried about the amount of new businesses isn't going to America and flotations not going to the New York Stock Exchange.
Many companies are deterred from listing in the U.S., he says, because of onerous regulation. Since the beginning of last year, the number of American companies listing in London on AIM has doubled to 60. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Asian markets closed mixed this morning. Right now, European markets are down, partly in anticipation of the U.S. employment report due out this morning. But yesterday, U.S. investors had a good day. An uptick in emerging markets put Wall Street in a good mood. The Dow bounced up 68 points to 12,260. The Nasdaq added 13 points. It's at 2387. And the S&P moved forward 9 points to 1401. You only have to follow the markets for a few weeks to know that exchanges can work in some pretty strange ways. A group of researchers says you might be able to predict some trading action based on the wind. Janet Batman has more from the Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
It seems that wind and clouds can dampen business for futures traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. That according to a study from three finance professors. They gathered data from the transaction records of more than 300 active traders over 4 years. Dr. Peter Locke at Texas Christian University was one of the researchers. He says he was surprised by the results.
In fact, there was evidence that on windier days, they make less money in the afternoon.
Locke isn't sure why the weather had such an effect, but he points to other studies that show wind creates ions that can make people depressed. If a trader's mood causes him to lose concentration, the result, he says, could be a poor trading day. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And we're just getting the story from Reuters. European Union leaders apparently have clinched an agreement today for a bold long-term strategy concerning climate change. This deal sets binding targets for slashing greenhouse gas emissions, developing renewable energy sources, and promoting energy efficiency using biofuels.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Medtronic, offering information to learn about sudden cardiac arrest and available life-saving therapies at Medtronic.com. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
Box office was boffo in 2006. Sorry, I couldn't just resist using that word, but the movie business did very well last year. That had to be a big relief for studio execs after the disappointment of ticket sales in 2005. A lot of records were set last year. Mike Speier is a managing editor for the Daily Variety. I asked him to discuss some of the big numbers from 2006.
The biggest number of all is that box office has turned around and gone the right way, which is up. I mean, in 2005, everybody was declaring the death of box office because it was down after a lot of years of growth. And, of course, everyone was predicting doom and gloom, and now it's turned around. It's not a record number domestically, but it's back up. It's going the right way, and that's great news for the movie business. The other big number is that internationally, it's a record. 2006 had the best year on record for international box office, and that's really key because every year you get more movies opening up at the same day around the world, more territories opening up for different movies, and of course, if 2006 was a record, you should probably expect 2007 to even top that.
What can we expect from 2007?
It's going to be a huge year. You have so many sequels of so many huge movies. You have Pirates of the Caribbean 3, you have Spider-Man 3, you have Shrek 3, you have another Harry Potter movie. All of these, all of them are in the same year.
Hedge fund money going to Hollywood? Should we be surprised by that? Should we be alarmed by that?
Well, it's a good point because hedge fund money has started to creep into Hollywood. And when you have all of this money, and make no mistake, all of these hedge fund organizations and companies have tons of money to spend, and that's what they're spending it on. So they're spending it on major, major movies. Some of them click, but some of them don't, because remember, hedge fund money financed things like Lady in the Water last year and Poseidon. And
I don't remember that movie. Yeah. Who's in
the three people who saw it remember it.
I'm sorry, I was one of the three, so I shouldn't say that. Let me ask you about one interesting figure that came out of this data from the Motion Picture Association of America. There are more people with home entertainment technology gadgets. And the people that have all those gadgets, they're going to the movies more. Can you explain that?
It almost defies logic because everybody a couple of years ago was saying, oh, my gosh, the iPod, TiVo, everybody's staying home because why go to the movies and fight traffic? The point is that all these people who have all this technology, they love movies. They love entertainment. So if you make the movies glitzy, if you make them fun, if you make them huge, they're going to go to the movies. That's what happened way back when the VCR came into everybody's house. Everybody said that was going to be the death of movies. But instead, everybody embraced it, and everyone even made the movie business bigger. Because if you like this stuff, it means you like going to the movies.
Mike Speier is a managing editor for The Daily Variety. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.